text for this morning's lesson is found in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I want to begin reading in just a moment, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 from the New King James Version. Begin at verse 3 and read through verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 5. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience. As my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Instead of the word genuine, or sincere, as some versions have it, the King James Version reads in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. The unfeigned faith. Unfeigned originally meant, as the Greek word was used in the first century, it meant inexperience in the art of acting. And then it came to mean one without hypocrisy, one without pretense. Without dissimulation, sometimes the King James Version translates it as such. Undisguised, unfeigned, thus genuine, sincere, real, true. So Paul is commending Timothy here for the unfeigned faith that he has, for the sincere faith that he has, for the genuine or true faith that he has. I thought it would be important that we would look at this phrase, the unfeigned, because there are three things mentioned in the New Testament as being unfeigned. That is unhypocritical. That is sincere. That is genuine. And that is unfeigned faith, unfeigned love, and unfeigned wisdom. As Christians, we need to possess these attributes, for indeed they are attributes. They're attributes of character that Christians are to have. We should have these. We should hold these within ourselves. We should possess these as Christians. And so let's look at each one of these this morning in our lesson. Unfeigned faith. We see this in our text under consideration. When I call to remembrance the genuine or unfeigned faith, note this, that is in you. So this unfeigned or unhypocritical faith dwelt in Timothy, which first, he said, dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded, note this, is in you also. This characteristic, this attribute of unfeigned faith, unhypocritical faith, genuine faith, sincere faith, is to be possessed by one. It's to abide in one. It's to dwell in one. As Christ dwells in us, as God dwells in us, as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that is, as they influence us, so does the unfeigned faith, unhypocritical faith that dwells in us also influences us. One might ask, well, how do I get this unhypocritical faith? How do I get this unfeigned faith, this sincere faith? Well, it comes through hearing the Word, Romans 10 and verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And one might say, well, preacher, that doesn't say unfeigned faith. Well, can one suppose that God would, through His Word, impart a faith or believe in you that was hypocritical? That was not sincere, not genuine, not true. God's Word imparts unto its hearer a faith that is not hypocritical, a faith that is indeed true and genuine. What does this faith do? What does this faith believe if you have this unfeigned faith dwelling in you? Well, it believes in God first and foremost. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The Him under consideration is God. For he who comes to God, there it is. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if I have unfeigned faith dwelling in me, I'm going to believe in God first and foremost. I'm also going to believe that Jesus is the Christ. That is, he's the Messiah, the Son of God, that he is deity. John 20 and verse 30 and following. John said, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that, in order that, or so that, you may believe, there's the unhypocritical faith, that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God, that he is deity, and that believing you may have life in his name, that is in him. So if one has unhypocritical faith, if one has a sincere, genuine faith, he believes in God. He believes in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. He believes that he's deity. He also believes that the Word of God is inspired of the Holy Spirit. It is a message that came by the influence of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 9. But as it is written, quoting from Isaiah 64 and verse 4, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them. Revealed what? Those things that have been prepared for those who love him. God has revealed them to us apostles, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we apostles, have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words, note that, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with, might I add, spiritual words. The apostles in the first century received by influence and power of the Holy Spirit the Word of God. So if one has unhypocritical faith, he believes in God. He believes in Jesus as deity, the Son of God. He believes that the message of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. And he believes that without God, without this belief in Jesus as deity, the Son of God, and without the message of the Holy Spirit, he's bound for an eternal destiny of condemnation. For Jesus said in John 8, in verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. Note this, for if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. That I am he, it's hard to determine from the chart, but the he is in italics. It's been added by translators. Jesus said, I am he. What does he mean? I am, that is, I am God. I am deity. Unless we believe that, and unhypocritical faith believes that, sincere and genuine faith believes that Jesus is deity, the Son of God. Unless we believe that, we're headed for a life of condemnation and eternal punishment. Unless we believe in the message that came by the influence or power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Word of Christ, we're doomed for condemnation. John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. So unfeigned faith believes in God, believes in Jesus as deity, the Son of God, believes in the message of the Holy Spirit, and believes that without them we are doomed for eternal destruction. That's what unfeigned faith believes. Unfeigned faith also obeys. We see this throughout the New Testament scriptures. An example, in Acts 8 and in verse 12, after the stoning of Stephen, men went everywhere preaching the gospel. And Philip went to the city of Samaria preaching. Acts 8 and verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning, note this, the kingdom of God and the name or the authority of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So unhypocritical faith obeys. That's what unhypocritical faith does. If you have sincere faith, if you have genuine faith, if you have true faith, it obeys. That's simply what it does. Another example, Acts 11 and verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and from Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. Preaching the Lord Jesus? Preaching that Jesus is the Lord. Kurios, one supreme in authority. Same thing that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 and verse 36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he was preaching that Jesus is Lord, the one whom they should submit to, the one to whom they should obey. And the hand of the Lord was with them, verse 21 of Acts 11, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So what does unfeigned faith do? What does unhypocritical faith do? It obeys. That's what it does. It obeys. Another way of saying that is it works. It works. Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Note this. But faith working through love. That's what unhypocritical faith does. Unhypocritical faith works. But if one has a faith that does not work, it is not unfeigned. If one has a faith that does not obey, if one has a faith that does not obey, does not work, it is not sincere faith. It's not genuine faith. It's not true faith. It's not unfeigned faith. James tells us that in James 2 and verse 14 and following. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can a hypocritical faith save him? Can you be saved with a faith that is not genuine? A faith that is not sincere? All of these people in the religious world who say they are saved by faith, but yet refuse to obey the Word of God, do not have sincere faith. They do not have unhypocritical faith. They do not have an unfeigned faith. Amen. They're not genuine and sincere in their faith. Verse 15 of James 2. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? The answer to that is it profits them in no way. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. Unhypocritical faith is alive. Unhypocritical faith is sincere and true and genuine. But a faith that does not work, a faith that does not obey, is hypocritical. That's why we have so many hypocrites. They pretend. They put on an air of being faithful, but they do not obey. They have an insincere faith. A faith that is not genuine. Let's look now at unfeigned love. Unfeigned love. We find this mentioned in Romans 12 and verse 9, where Paul said, let love be without hypocrisy. There's our word. Translated sincere in the New King James Version, remember, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Without hypocrisy. So love is to be without hypocrisy. That is, another way of saying that is love is to be genuine. Love is to be sincere, and that's the way it's translated in some versions, such as the English Standard Version and New International Version. So let love be sincere. Let love be genuine. Let love be true. Let love be unhypocritical. What does unhypocritical or unfeigned love do? It abhors that which is evil. That's what it does. To abhor means to loathe, to detest, even to hate evil, to the point that you will flee from it, stay away from it. Now, some people say that they're loving people. And because they're loving people, they say, I tolerate sin. But for one to excuse his toleration for evil by saying that he is a loving person, is to show that he demonstrates a hypocritical faith and a hypocritical love. His love is not genuine. His love is not sincere. His love is not without hypocrisy. He is a hypocrite. He simply says he loves, but he does not abhor, detest, or hate evil. What does unfeigned love do? What does unhypocritical love do? Well, it clings or cleaves to what is good. The word cling or cleave here, of course, is used metaphorically. It means to join oneself unto, to follow, to accompany. So, love that is exercised without hypocrisy, love that is unfeigned, abhors evil to the point that it flees from it. But love that is without hypocrisy, love that is unfeigned, clings or cleaves to that which is good. The word good here means that which is morally good, that which is upright, that which is virtuous. And so the unfeigned love of one will tenaciously support that which is good morally. It will stand faithfully for that which is righteous. It will stand alongside that which is righteous. But love without hypocrisy will abhor, detest, and hate evil. Unfeigned and unhypocritical love loves God. It is shown by one keeping His commandments. As Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." That is unhypocritical love, unfeigned love. That's sincere love. That's genuine love. So the people who say, "I love God," but does not keep His commandments, they do not have genuine love. They do not have sincere love. They have hypocritical love. They show themselves to be hypocrites. As children of God, we're to have unfeigned love for God. And we demonstrate that, show that, and prove that by our obedience to His will. Unfeigned love is more than talk. It is action. 1 John 3 and in verse 18, John said, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue," and might I add the word "only." It's all right to love in word and in tongue. That is, in your language, you should express your love. But don't do that only. Show and demonstrate your sincere love, your genuine love, your unhypocritical love in deeds and truth. That is, by your action in harmony with truth. That's how you demonstrate unhypocritical love. So unfeigned love is not just the talk of love, like a lot of religious people like to do. They classify themselves as loving God and loving their brethren and loving their fellow man, but they don't demonstrate it. They don't show it. They don't prove it by their obedience to God's word, nor through their actions among themselves. So they show themselves to be hypocrites. Unfeigned love is to be exercised with fervency. It's to be exercised intently and deeply. In 1 Peter 1 and in verse 22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love," there's our word, unhypocritical and unfeigned, "in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." We're to love our brethren fervently, intensely, deeply, earnestly. That's what unfeigned love is. And it's carried out in our actions toward our brethren, like our unfeigned love is shown in our obedience to the Word of God. Unfeigned love. Do you have that attribute? Do you have that character trait? Is it in you? Is it dwelling in you? Do you possess that? Or do you possess a hypocritical love A love that presents itself only by pretense. A love that is covered with a mask. A love that is not true, not genuine. Let's turn our attention now to unfeigned wisdom. Unfeigned wisdom. We find this mentioned in the text in our reading this morning. James 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. That means the wisdom from above is genuine. The wisdom from above is sincere. The wisdom from above is true wisdom. It's not a false wisdom. This unfeigned wisdom does not generate with man. It doesn't originate with man. It comes from God. It comes from above. Note the context. James 3 and in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct, good behavior, virtuous behavior, that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, and do not boast and lie against the truth, note that, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So there is a wisdom that does not originate with God. It does not come from God. It comes from man. It's characterized as being earthly. It's earthly wisdom. It's the wisdom of man. It's sensual wisdom. It's demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom that God gives is without hypocrisy. That means it doesn't play the hypocrite. Many people claim to be wise. Many people would classify themselves as wise, but they're filled with earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. Because the wisdom that they demonstrate and prove in their life is a wisdom that does not originate with God. Unfeigned wisdom does not have to show off. Unfeigned wisdom does not have to have a pretentious display. Unfeigned wisdom was constantly begged for by Jesus to be expressed in the lives of the religious leaders of his day, because he denounced the earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom that the religious leaders of his day exhibited in their lives. Oh, they claim to be wise, and they claim to be wise according to God's will, but they had a hypocritical wisdom. They displayed a wisdom that was not true. A wisdom that was not genuine, a wisdom that was not sincere, a wisdom that did not come from God. And so Jesus condemned them on many occasions. Matthew 6 and in verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. They do this that they may have glory for men. Oh, they claim to be wise. They claim to be wise according to God's word. But they were hypocritical. Their wisdom that was on display was earthly. It was sensual. They did what they did to be seen of men. They displayed earthly wisdom and not godly wisdom. Matthew 6 and in verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, the stage actors, those who are pretending to be wise, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. And in Matthew 15 in verse 7 and following, hypocrites, Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The heart of the hypocrite, the one who does not have unfeigned wisdom, the one who does not exhibit in their life sincere, genuine, true wisdom of God, plays the part of the hypocrite. His heart is actually far from God. And in vain they worship God, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. But those who obey Christ prove themselves to have unfeigned wisdom. Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of man and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. A wise man based upon earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom? No, a wise man based upon the Word of God. I liken him to a wise man because he obeys the Word of God. So there it is. The New Testament speaks of unfeigned faith, unhypocritical faith. Unfeigned or unhypocritical or sincere or genuine love. Unfeigned, unhypocritical, sincere or true wisdom that comes from God. The question of the hour is, do you possess these attributes? Do these attributes dwell in you? Do you have them as your own? Are they demonstrated in your life? I ask that question because you see, you know the answer. Do you have unfeigned or unhypocritical faith? Remember what a faith does. A faith obeys. Unhypocritical faith obeys. It works. Do you have that? Obey the will of God today. Do you have unfeigned or unhypocritical love? Do you express love only in words? I love Christ, but I do not obey His word. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you have or possess unfeigned wisdom? Unhypocritical wisdom? A wisdom that is true? A wisdom that comes from God? That is, do you live out His Word in your life? You know, wisdom is the exercise of knowledge in one's life. You partake of the knowledge of God's Word, and then with wisdom you live that Word out in your life. Is that what you're doing? I ask the question, do you possess or do you have these traits in your life? Because you know the answer to that question. Not only do you know the answer to that question, people around you know the answer to that question. They know whether you're a hypocrite or not. They can see your unhypocritical love or your hypocritical love. They can see your unfeigned faith or your hypocritical faith. You demonstrate it by your words and actions and deeds every day. So do you have these? You know the answer. Other people know the answer. But you know who else knows the answer? God knows the answer. God knows the answer. So whether you're saint or whether you're sinner, obey God today and prove yourself to be a possessor of unfeigned faith, unfeigned love, and unfeigned wisdom. The lesson is yours. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do that through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. Demonstrate and prove that you have unfeigned faith in God, in Jesus Christ and the Word as the Word of God. Prove your love to Him by keeping His commandments. Prove that you're a wise man by being obedient to His will. If you've obeyed the will of God in times past, but yet have sin in your life, what have you done? Well, you've shown yourself to be unwise. You've played a hypocrite. Repent of it. Confess your sin. Pray to God that He will forgive you of it, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.